way to go home.
Monday to Friday, 2:30 to 4. It is the Blitz. Mitch Widmeyer right here with you. Going to the phone lines, our guest today, as he joins us every Tuesday. Arif Hassan covers the Vikings for Cold Omaha on 1500 ESPN up in the Twin Cities. The websites to go to find Arif's work, coldomaha.com. Click the Vikings tab or 1500ESPN.com. Arif, as always, time's appreciated. We saw the Vikings cut Brandon Fusco late last week. Believe it was on Friday. He was somewhat up and down this year. Did the move catch you off guard at all or not really?
It didn't really catch me off guard. I kind of expected it to happen. I was kind of hoping, you know, going into this year that Fusco would be able to sort of revive his career after, you know, he looked pretty poor because of a pec injury taking away strength. But that didn't happen, and I don't think the Vikings, were optimistic about the progress that it would eventually happen, nor would they willing to sort of invest the amount of, like, time, roster space, and money it would take to eventually see that to fruition. So that made sense. The Mike Harris thing made sense because it sounded like, whatever non-football injury he had was pretty serious.
It's spotted, it being the Brandon Fusco release, an extra $3 million in cap space, if I'm not mistaken. But I don't know, Reef. To me, this was, and this is just me kind of spitballing it, to me it was more about the overhaul at the position, at the entire offensive line, more than it was, all right, if we get rid of Brandon Fusco, we can free up more cap space. Do you agree with the stance that this probably had more to do with them just trying to overhaul and rebuild the offensive line at a few different positions?
A little bit. I don't think the $3 million is going to matter all that much in sort of the grand scheme of things, especially, you know, we've got like $18 million sitting right there with Adrian Peterson. But, I think that, you know, there's something to be said about, you know, not sending a signal, but like revamping the offensive line and getting rid of the stuff that didn't work. I do think that, like, just as important as the money is the roster space that's freed up. And they'd rather take a long shot that might work than sort of, you know, give a roster space to someone you know plays at a certain level that's not really acceptable as a starter. So I think that that's, you know, part of it too. So I think it's not quite, I think there's some of that, but I don't think it's quite, hey, we need to, you know, completely revamp the offensive line so we can't have sort of these old faces sticking around. I think a lot of it is just you can take more risks when you have more roster spots.
One potential option, had they kept Fusco on board, they could have signed a right guard that's better, had Fusco as a backup. Because I think one thing, too, Arif, is while they need starters, and now there's that vacancy at right guard, don't know what they're going to do at left tackle, right tackle out there as well. So they need starters, but I think they need depth overall on the offensive line as well, correct?
Yeah, they need starters and they need depth, and I understand wanting to keep Fusco as depth. It is a little bit difficult to justify $3 million for a backup guard, but that might have made sense. But I do think they really want to take as many shots as possible, to have as many, you know, high probability and low probability either draft picks or free agents to see who will work out, because, you know, if there's a good chance that they may end up being better than Fusco, they'll end up being, you know, sort of a cheaper backup guard that they'll be able to put in there. The only problem is that, you know, Fusco knows the system. Whoever they bring in probably won't. Those are the kind of risks that you want to take. But if you balance it against the risk of, you know, bringing in an unknown, essentially, I think that that's probably a good thing. It does signal to us that they'll be making a lot of offensive line.
Arif Hassan, our guest today on the Blitz, covers the Vikings for Cold Omaha and 1500 ESPN, amongst other outlets. So did the release of Fusco and Mike Harris, both of which you said you somewhat expected, did it tell you anything about how the Vikings might approach Matt Khalil in free agency or no?
Not really, because I think that the guard market is a lot different than the tackle market, both in free agency and in the draft. I think there's a lot more guards in the draft that, you know, could be interesting or would interest someone. And I think in free agency, you know, you've got players like Kevin Zeitler, who's reportedly not going to be re-signed by the Bengals. You've got Ron Leary, who wants to go somewhere. I think that those, signal that the Vikings are interested in the nature of the guard market. The tackle market is a lot more difficult. There's not that many tackles in the draft. After you get the top two, you get a bunch of people that people kind of hate. And the tackle market in free agency is also pretty weak. You know, there's Whitworth, but he's old. There's Riley Reiff, maybe, but, you know, he hasn't had a good year. So I think that the way they treat Khalil will be a lot different than the way they treated the two guards.
And knowing how razor-thin the tackle market is, I know just on the surface, Arif, there's a lot of Viking fans, just about every Viking fan you interact with that says, man, Khalil's a free agent. Well, why would you bring him back? He hasn't been good in 4 years. He had the one Pro Bowl season, I think that was in 2012. Hasn't done much of anything since then. Why would you even entertain the possibility of bringing him back? The tackle market, as you mentioned, both in free agency and then in this year's draft, is razor thin. What circumstances, under what circumstances, would you be okay with Matt Khalil coming back? Would you prefer it that he comes back as the starting left tackle and that they give him another chance, or just let him go somewhere else or bring it in but have him compete with someone else? What do you think plays out with Matt Khalil, and what would you prefer?
Yeah, I think that the best way to deal with that is to just let go of Matt Khalil. Like, I think that, you know, all of these arguments are strong. That, you know, that's why I made them. But I think that it's just better to sort of move on, kind of like, you know, I thought Christian Potter is a really good backup quarterback, but it's just better to move on and, you know, see if he can stick better in a new environment. I think the same thing is true of Matt Khalil, that maybe a new environment would be better for him. I'm not opposed to re-signing him for, you know, $4 million, making him a backup tackle. He is a little bit limited. He's, you know, you hear a lot about, you know, right tackles only. He's kind of a left tackle only, not because he's not strong, but because he's got, you know, limited movement skills to the right. He's much more effective moving to the left. And so he is more limited as a backup, but I do think that he would be an appropriate backup. I just think that it would be better for everyone if, you know, he found, you know, a new environment to see if he could thrive there instead. I think that the Vikings, just like, you know, with guard, although there's fewer opportunities available, they should take some shots, you know, at tackle. You know, I'm not optimistic about, you know, TJ Clemmings or anything like that. I do think that Matt Khalil improved before the hip injury, you know, took him out. I think that all of those things are reasons to keep him, but I think that just generally speaking, it'd be better to move on and create, you know, put new faces in the locker room.
Is it fair to say the Vikings, Arif, are in the market for a left tackle, a right tackle, and a right guard? And if so, what spot would you like to see him attack first? You mentioned there isn't much out there at the left tackle market, and we often hear, hey, left tackles get paid the big money because they protect the quarterback's blind side. Is it fair to say the Vikings have a vacancy at starting left tackle, and right guard, and what spot would you like to see him go after first?
Yeah, they got a vacancy at those spots. They probably need a backup center too, because Joe Berger's pretty old. So, you know, they've got a lot of, you know, investing to do. Ideally, you know, you'd want to attack the left tackle spot first, but, you know, I don't think that right tackles or left tackles are necessarily any more important than the other. I think that if you go back 10 years, that was true, because the way quarterbacks dropped back, there was definitely a blind side to the way, you know, quarterbacks, you know, surveyed the field and, you know, all that. But nowadays, you know, quarterbacks are not only just in shotgun more often, when they drop back, they tend to look to their left and their right much, much more often. So I don't think there's as much value to left side versus right side pass protection. Plus, you've got, you know, J.J. Watt and Von Miller and, you know, Justin Houston and all these amazing pass rushers rushing from the right side. You know, I think that whichever you can get first. I think that, you know, getting a right tackle is fine if that's what they prioritize. Because, hey, you do have that backup in Matt Khalil that you might be able to resign for, you know, a small amount of money. There are a couple of players in the draft that, you know, maybe are not tackle prospects for a lot of people, but they played tackle well in college. People like Deion Dawkins and Forrest Lamb, who are, you know, projected to be guard. You might be able to experiment with them a little bit of tackle because they played so well there. You know, there's options in the draft, I think, for left tackle. For right tackle, you know, you're looking at, you know, either Roderick Johnson in the draft, or you could get Riley Reiff, or you could get Ricky Wagner. I think there's a couple more options maybe at right tackle. And if it costs a little bit less to get that right tackle, you know, go ahead and do it. I think that, you know, maybe that's, you know, an okay place to invest first. Other than that, I would take, you know, a strong look at guard. I think that teams tend to underinvest in guard, and, you know, quick pressure up the middle is more dangerous than, you know, pressure from the outside. Pressure from the outside happens more often, which is why you invest in those tackles. But I would say don't neglect guard either. So I would go, you know, right tackle, left tackle, right guard, but I don't think that those are hard priorities to, you know, lock yourself into.
Now, we know the Vikings don't have a first-round pick. They gave that to Philly when they acquired Sam Bradford last year. Knowing that, and if the Vikings want ready-now guys at the offensive line, you can find value at almost any round of the NFL draft. Just depends on who you have pegged where on your big board, depending on the team and the GM and who's running the show. But if the Vikings want ready-now guys at the offensive line spot, regardless of left tackle, right guard, they would probably have to look more towards free agency than the draft. Is that a fair estimation?
Yeah, even some of the favorites at tackle, you know, first round guys are not necessarily ready. People like Cam Robinson are supposed to be raw technically, and may take, you know, a second or two in the NFL before that they can, you know, get ready and do things. So even if you know, the Vikings trade a lot of picks to move up into the first round, they could find themselves with a player that, you know, a lot of people like, but might end up being a developmental guy. So you might have to go into free agency to get a guy. The only situation where they wouldn't be able to is, you know, the Ryan Ramczyk kid from Wisconsin. If he falls, which seems kind of unlikely now, you know, maybe the Vikings could, you know, put together a package and move up for him. But that's not something I would bet on going into free agency, which, you know, of course, is before the draft. So, yeah, I would see if I can find even like a placeholder guy like Whitworth, who is a really nice placeholder. He's not like a paperweight or anything like that. But you know, even a guy that you're only going to get for, you know, the next couple of years, I would go after, because it'd be so difficult to find someone ready to play right away.
Arif Hasan, our guest today here on the Blitz. I couldn't help but notice yesterday, Arif, that the Giants cut ties with Victor Cruz and Rashad Jennings, freeing up a good amount of cap space for them. They spent a lot of money last offseason on the defensive side of the ball. Now they get rid of Victor Cruz and Rashad Jennings, their starting running back and one of their top three receivers, probably their third best receiver a year ago. And it kind of had me thinking, if Adrian Peterson does become a free agent, he and the Vikings aren't able to work something out, could you see the Giants as a potential destination for number 28?
I could. You know, they released, you know, Rashad Jennings along with Victor Cruz, and I think that, you know, there's a possibility for it, but they might just actually just be invested in Paul Perkins as the running back of the future. You know, there's, you know, pretty good arguments against it, you know, that they didn't give, you know, Perkins that many carries, and, you know, he's seen as, you know, a third down back and stuff like that. And you know, maybe, you know, their investment in Peterson would be as a backup running back that only, you know, shows up in goal line situations and all that. I think that Peterson is probably going to be interested in a place like New York, any place that, you know, has a big media market. So there's definitely, you know, potentially something there. But I think that there's probably more buzz than there is reason for buzz, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think I asked you this a few weeks ago, Arif, so forgive me, I'm going to ask again. And maybe your mind has changed in the couple of weeks. How do you think this Adrian Peterson thing ends up playing out? Do you think he restructures, stays in Minnesota? I can't imagine the Vikings keep him with what he's currently set to get paid for next year. How do you think this thing unravels?
I don't even remember how I answered your question, so I might answer it differently this time. I don't think there's any likelihood or possibility that they keep Adrian Peterson on for $18 million. I think that there's a good chance that they restructure. I think a lot of people think they'll cut him outright, which is, you know, what I would do. But, you know, the Vikings were so attached to Peterson, and, you know, they really like, you know, having Peterson on the roster for a lot of reasons. I think they'll try and restructure a deal. There's a rumor going around, which I don't think, you know, was true the last time we talked about this. There's a rumor going around that the Vikings will still make him one of the top five highest paid running backs, which would, of course, move him from $18 million to like $7 million. Like, it is a pretty significant decrease in money to make him a top five paid running back. But that's not, you know, something that makes a lot of sense to me. So I kind of want to dismiss the rumor, and I want to say, you know, the Vikings are going to cut him outright, but I just can't say that with all certainty, because I thought, you know, the Vikings would have made a good football move, plus they had a good excuse to, you know, trade or cut Peterson outright, you know, after he missed a year. Aside from that, you know, if they weren't going to do it then, they clearly have some sort of attachment to him. I think he may stay on the roster. It's really difficult for me to tell, but I think that the arguments for cutting him are better than the arguments for restructuring.
We've got Arif Hasan with us here on the Blitz. I thought today, Arif, we'd finish up kind of looking across the rest of the NFC North. I know this is extremely premature We don't know what the schedule looks like. Free agency hasn't started. We haven't even had the combine or the NFL draft. But I thought we'd take somewhat of a peek forward at what could lie ahead for the rest of the teams in the NFC North. And I thought we'd start with the Packers and what they might do in the offseason. To me, they need cornerback help. They got rid of Sam Shields. Ladarius Gunner, I don't think, was expected to be a starter, but he got thrust into that role because of injuries. He wasn't anything to write home about last year, so they need help at cornerback. Figure out what they're doing with TJ Lang and Eddie Lacy, both of whom are free agents. Of course, with Aaron Rodgers, Green Bay's always going to be lurking around there. What do you think about Green Bay and what they might do in the offseason going forward?
Green Bay has a lot of needs. I think cornerback makes a lot of sense, but I think with the return from injury that they'll get from Quentin Rollins or Demarius Randle or whoever they want to put at cornerback between the two of them, I think that that's probably going to keep them a little bit happier, so I think that they may not be as interested in that. I think with TJ Lang leaving, they're definitely going to want to be interested in sort of offensive line stuff. Their backup offensive linemen are pretty good, so maybe that's not as big a deal. But they definitely need an inside linebacker. They keep on moving Clay Matthews to the inside to cover for all the injuries that they have. And, you know, I don't think Blake Martinez and Jake Ryan and there's a third one. I don't think the three of them are really, big threats. And I think that, Clay Matthews is better playing on the outside than he is on the inside by a significant margin, even sort of near the end of his career. So I think the inside linebacker is going to be sort of one of their needs. And then they are going to need to replace Clay Matthews in the long run. And if not, they're definitely going to need to replace Julius Peppers in the long run. So I think that, below inside linebacker, maybe below something like tight end, maybe below a guard, they're going to need an edge rusher too. At some point, and this is such a talented and rich, outside linebacker class for those edge rushers that, they might just pick a good one, a starting quality one in the third round. I think that they're going to get those. So I think that they do have a lot of needs. You're right that they're kind of always in the race because of Aaron Rodgers, but, he has had, pretty good help from his offensive linemen with a guard gone. They're going to want to invest there. Their defense has been sort of the biggest problem. I think that inside linebacker is a part of that. Ed Rush is part of that. Cornerback, like you said, is going to be a part of that, even with, those return from injuries. So, there's a lot of ways they could go. They could get a running back, like you said.
Joe, I think the other linebacker you were thinking of was Joe Thomas, if I'm not mistaken, and it's not a...
Yes, Joe Thomas Jr.
Correct me if I might be way off on this, but I believe he was the one whose dad is like 40-some years old. And
correct.
And he played college football. Where did he play? Was it like South Carolina State or something?
Or say it was South Carolina State.
Some small... I remember that story, and his dad's like in his 40s, and he suited up and played college football this year, which was insane. That's the only reason I remember his name, and that... He's an inside linebacker for the Packers. With Chicago and the Bears, I think they have some nice pieces. Alshon Jeffrey's a free agent. But really, Arif, I think their number one priority is what are they going to do with Jay Cutler and overall at that quarterback position, right?
Yeah, and I think that it would have been smart of them to invest in a quarterback last year when I thought that there were some interesting development options in the draft. I guess they didn't, which is fine. They're going to have to get a starting one now. That's the top of the list, that they're going to have to get, a quarterback of some sort. Whether or not it's going to be someone who's going to take a little bit of time to become sort of, pro-ready, someone like Patrick Mahomes, could be someone that they grab even in the first round. He's getting sort of first-round hype. Or they could get Nathan Peterman in the third round or something like that, someone that they could develop or someone that they feel comfortable starting right away. I don't think DeShone Kizer, for example, would be too uncomfortable in an offense also run by Jay Cutler. That's something that they could go into right away. Ever since sort of the double retirements of, Tim Jennings and Peanut Tillman, they've needed a cornerback. It looked like Kyle Fuller was going to be that guy. He's been pretty poor, and he missed the entire 2016 with an injury. Tracy Porter had an unlikely pretty decent season, but they might want to invest in a cornerback there. They've perpetually needed offensive linemen. Moving Kyle Long to offensive tackle didn't really work out. I don't really think Leno or Massey are people that they should be comfortable with as starters. And then, like you said, pass catchers, whether or not that's tight ends or receivers, they're going to need more of them. I don't think Kevin White is going to be you know, someone who's going to blossom. You know, whether or not that's, you know, the fault of talent evaluation or the fault of his injuries, I don't think he looked particularly good when he was healthy for, I think, those four odd games. And I think that, you know, they still need more pass catchers regardless of whether or not they re-sign, you know, Alshon Jeffrey, because, you know, he's injury prone too. And you don't have a tight end. You don't have, like, you know, those mismatches against, you know, those linebackers. And this is, you know, we talk about, hey, it's a good edge rusher class. Hey, it's a really good safety class. Those are both very, very true things. You know, maybe the best of those two classes we've seen in a long time, but the tight end class is phenomenal. Maybe the best tight end class the NFL has seen. I don't know if that sounds like an exaggeration, but I think it's true.
Finally, in the NFC North, and I'm going to defer to you heavily on this one, it's the Detroit Lions. It's just, I don't know, there's things that intrigue me about Detroit. I thought Matt Stafford played very well in Jim Bob Cooter's offense this past year. They have Golden Tate. They have Eric Ebron. They have Marvin Jones, who I believe is under contract at least for another season in Detroit. The one thing about Matt Stafford that I always gave him somewhat of a hall pass with is I feel like his entire career, which has been in Detroit from the get-go, he's never had a really good running back. And I don't know if Ameer Abdullah can stay healthy for a full season. It seems like they always have scat back guys, or they bring a veteran in off the street. I'm not saying they need to target in on a running back, but it just feels like they've never come full circle on offense in giving Stafford a really good weapon in the backfield.
Yeah, and I think that an investment in running back would make a lot of sense. I'm a huge fan of Zach Zenner, and maybe that's just because I've fallen in love with, like, his story. You know, maybe that's not fair, but I thought that, you know, he is this crazy athletic dude. If you've heard of that Nike Spark test, you know, he, you know, he got really high scores in that Spark test, indicating that he's got a really high level of athleticism for his size. If you look at power back, and then I also liked Ameer Abdullah coming out. You know, he's the guy that, I don't know if you watched the Cardinals documentary, that was on Amazon Prime, but he was the guy they were targeting, they missed out on, and then they grabbed David Johnson as a consolation prize, which, you know, that ends up being, you know, a pretty good story for them. But I think Ameer Abdullah is, you know, pretty talented. I think that, you know, the combination of him, Zach Zenner, and Theo Riddick is a pretty good running back solution, but I wouldn't be surprised if they end up going in at running back. I think that the bigger problems that they have right now are, you know, a tackling guard. I think there's a lot of indications that Reef won't be re-signed. You know, I think that they've got some issues at guard. You know, they've had good guard play in the past, but honestly, they've had a lot of issues. So, you know, they could invest in this class there. Other than that, you know, the secondary, you know, has kind of aged out. Back when they made the playoff, they had, like, I think it was a 31-year-old Rashawn Mathis do well for them. They're going to need new cornerbacks now. You know, they've got Miles Killebrew, who is more of a, you know, strong safety linebacker type. But, you know, you could say, hey, he's going to be a fine strong safety. You don't need him. But I do think they need to invest in both corner and safety. And then, you know, that defensive line isn't what it used to be. They've got Ziggy Ansah, who's fine, maybe a little bit overhyped, but, you know, maybe they could get somebody who has the ability to move up the middle. I like Kerry Hyder Jr. as a depth defensive end. I like Devin Taylor kind of as a starter, but if they could get another rotational pass rusher in there, that would help. And I think that, you know, a guy who has the ability to rush up the middle would be, you know, huge for them in terms of their ability to generate a defense. Because their offense, you know, was very good. You know, some people even put Matt Stafford in the MVP conversation earlier in the year. So I think that, you know, if they can maintain that level of offense and improve the defense, they're in a really good position.
We'll finish with our off notes. Just one to hit on today, Arif, and I'm curious, what value would you put on Jimmy Garoppolo? Let me rephrase it. If you were a GM, Arif, and you needed a quarterback, what picks or picks would you feel comfortable giving up to acquire him if you knew you could get him?
Coming out of college, I was not a huge fan of Jimmy Garoppolo because I wasn't confident in how he would do under pressure. And I don't think I would change my college grade too much just because he spent some time next to Tom Brady. I think that's historically been kind of a mistake. I will say that the games that he's played in the regular season have been very, very positive. The games that he's played in the preseason, which, of course, you know, is kind of tough in terms of evaluation, have been extremely negative. So he was like a third-round guy to me coming out. I wouldn't give him much more than that. I wouldn't give New England much more than my initial grade because I've seen conflicting signals from both ends about how good he is. I'm a little bit worried about taking him out of a system that he was comfortable in and succeeded in, one that, you know, Brian Hoyer succeeded in, one that Matt Castle succeeded in, et cetera, and putting him into my system, which is not going to be anything like that because I'm not Bill Belichick. So I wouldn't give him a much higher, I would maybe give him a little bit of a higher grade because of his regular season play, but I wouldn't give him that much higher of a grade than coming out of college. And so if I were a GM, I'd maybe give up a third and a fifth, or maybe a second, you know, something like that. I wouldn't, you know, one of the asking prices, you know, that people have been tossing around is a first and a fourth. That's insane. That's crazy. I wouldn't do that at all. A second round pick, I think that's justifiable. A third and, you know, some future picks, that's very justifiable to me.
Folks, the website's to go to, coldomaha.com. Click on the Vikings outlet or 1500ESPN.com. Arif, as always, the time is appreciated. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Your prep calendar coming up in 90 seconds right here on the Blitz.